many of us spend time at telling God what we don't have? And God stops us cold in our tracks. God says, what is in your hand?
This is Straight Talk.
Thank you for listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host, here with Pastor Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. And it is our joy to be able to bring you this program. It's a service of love, and there's resources that you need to know about if you have not yet downloaded the app. Go to PastorMarkJobe.com. PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. And Pastor Mark, tell us some of the resources that are available at this app.
You know, I'm excited to promote a resource today that I think you're going to love. My son Josiah has loved this resource, and it's called Streetlights, and it's a urban audio version of the Bible. And what I love about this is it's the Bible read out loud, but by some Chicago voices with some little bit of urban beat underneath. If you have a hard time concentrating on Scripture, my son has loved this. He listens to entire chapters of the Bible on this, and he just says, Dad, it helps me listen. I love it. And it's produced by a couple friends of mine. I know Estevan Shedd. I know Aaron Lopez. In fact, we even have some of our pastors do the voices of some of these readings. So if you go to our Straight Talk app and download it, you'll see this under resources. So go to www.PastorMarkJobe.com, and you could download the Straight Talk app and start getting into the Word every single day.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Thousands of people have already downloaded the app. Hundreds of messages are being listened to every day, and you don't want to miss it. It's the easiest way to share messages with your friends and grow in the Word. Go to PastorMarkJobe.com, download the Straight Talk app today.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you with us again. We continue on with Pastor Mark's series called Experiencing God. And today, our text will be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 4. Let's join Pastor Mark for a message that he has entitled, Crisis of Belief, Overcoming the Excuses.
We've been talking about experiencing God over the last several weeks. And I am so excited about the message today. And I really pray that God will give me the ability to communicate this message to you, because I believe that God has a word for you through this message. Over the last several weeks, if you have not been here, we've been discovering a few things that happens when we experience God. Number one, we've discovered that God is always at work in our life, in our past, in our present, in our future. Before you were born, God knew you. God is the first person that has ever loved you. Because before your parents knew whether you were a boy or a girl, God already knew about you and God already loved you. He had already placed value on your life, and He was already orchestrating the pieces of your future for His purposes and His plans. He's always been involved in your life, even during the seasons of life where you thought, where are you, God? God was there. Even times when you turned your back on God and walked away from God and acted like He did not exist, God was still involved in your life. He was still a part of your story. The second thing that we've learned is that not only that is God involved in our past, present, and future, but we've also learned that God is constantly inviting us to join His plan. He gives us an invitation to not live just for ourselves, but to see that life has bigger purposes, bigger plans than just us, and He invites us to join Him in His purposes and His plans. Now, oftentimes that invitation leads to a crisis of faith. Because typically what God is inviting us to is bigger than what we can handle. Requires abilities that we do not have. It requires a step of faith. And so we come to a crisis of faith in which we ask ourselves, who are you, God? Who am I? And God, can I really, really trust you? Also in that crisis of faith, there's a second half, and we learned that from Moses. And it's usually a season of excuses, where we begin to make excuses of why we're not ready, why we can't, why we're not the right person to roll up our sleeves and to join God's plan. And so this morning I want to talk to you about overcoming excuses to joining what God is doing in our life. Now, none of us had to take a course called Excuses 101 to learn how to give excuses. It seems like we're born with the innate ability to make excuses. The 4-year-old child, when he's caught with his hand in the cookie jar, can come up with some great excuses as to why his hand is in that cookie jar. That little boy that fifth grader that does not want to go to school can come up with all kinds of great excuses as to why he should not go to school that day. And as we grow older, we perfect our ability to make excuses. We become more refined at making excuses. I read recently a report that was put out by UPI News Services. Metropolitan Insurance Company reported on some unusual explanations for accidents from its automobile policy holders, giving excuses as to why they were in an accident. These are literal quotes from people writing down how they got in an accident. It reveals our ability to make excuses. One person said, "An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and vanished." Someone else said, "The other car collided with mine without warning me of its intentions." Another person wrote, "As I reached an intersection, a bush sprang up, obscuring my vision." Must have been a bush on Miracle-Gro. I like this one. A man said, "I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and then I headed over the embankment." Another person wrote, "A telephone pole was approaching fast. I attempted to swerve out of its path, but it struck my front end." Telephone pole on wheels. Someone else wrote, "The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him." Someone else wrote, "The indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth." And then the final one, it's kind of sad, but it is funny. "The pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him." That is bad. But it indicates our ability to make excuses over things in life. When something bad happens, we typically make excuses. And oftentimes, this is nothing compared to the excuses that we make to God. God is saying, "I want you to join my plan. I have a purpose and a plan for you." And oftentimes, we find ourselves telling God why we think it's a bad idea. Moses, who wrote the first 5 books of the Old Testament called the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, found himself at a crucial point in his life, at a crossroads in life, in which he encountered, of all things, a burning bush. Out of this burning bush, the voice of God came and basically said to Moses, "I want you to leave your career in shepherding. I want you to relocate your life. And I want you to go and do something that you have never done before, become a liberator." So Moses' response to that is found in Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. 3 excuses that Moses gives. Excuse number 1 is what I call the credibility excuse. It says in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 4, Moses answered, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Now Moses had a bit of a point. He was 80 years old at the time. God had said, "I want you to go set my people free." There were 2 million Jews under the slavery of the Egyptian mega power country. And God was asking an 80-year-old to show up to this world power country to appear before the most powerful person in the face of this earth and to say, set my people free. And if they were to ask him, old man, what makes you think that you have the power to set people free? He was to respond to them, God has spoken to me. And if they were asked, well, how did God spoke to you? He'd say, well, I was out in the desert and a bush spoke to me. And if they inquire a little bit more about that bush, he would say, well, the bush was on fire and heard a voice coming out of that bush and it spoke to me and said, set my people free. And people would already be doing, voices, bushes, set people free, no army. So you can understand why Moses was a little bit hesitant about going to the Egyptians with this story of a talking bush setting him on some sort of journey of liberation. And so Moses says to God, God, what if people don't believe me? What if they say it's all in your head? You don't have the right to do what you're doing because your call is not legitimate. Have you ever asked yourself that question? What if people don't believe me? You go to tell your story about how God has gotten a hold of your life and begun to change you. What if people don't really believe that it's true? Or believe it's just a phase you're going through. That it's really all in your head or a self-improvement, but it's really not going to last. You'll be back to the normal old self within a matter of months. What if people really don't believe that you have had an encounter with God? What if people don't believe that Jesus has really changed your life? What if people really don't believe you? I love what God tells Moses. He doesn't give him arguments to give to the Egyptians. God speaks to Moses out of the burning bush. And have you ever noticed how God oftentimes answers our questions with another question? Moses says, what if they don't believe me? And God doesn't answer Moses. He asks him a question. He says, Moses, what is in your hand? What is in my hand? Well, a staff is in my hand. It's my tool that I use to shepherd sheep. See, here's the thing about God. When you make excuses about what you don't have, God always starts by having you look at what you do have. Oh, I wish you could grasp that.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Crisis of Belief, Overcoming the Excuses. It's from our series called Experiencing God. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus chapter 4. Pastor Mark's message, Crisis of Belief, Overcoming the Excuses.
So many of us spend time telling God what we don't have. God, I don't have ability to speak. God, I don't have the intellect. I don't have the training. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the experience necessary. I don't have the influence. I don't have the reputation. And God stops us cold in our tracks. And here's what God does. God says, what is in your hand? By that he means, what is it that you already possess? Stop looking at what you don't have. Stop speaking about what you lack and start with what you do have. Because every mission of God starts with what we already possess and have at our disposal. Now, all that Moses had was a rod. It doesn't seem like much. I mean, it's just the tool of the trade. If he were a bricklayer, it would have been a spatula. If he were a computer programmer, it would have been a mouse. If he were a janitor, it would have been a broom. But he was a shepherd, so it was a staff. Now, God took the ordinary, normal staff, and God indicated to Moses, take what is ordinary, common, and mundane, and with my touch and supernatural power, I will turn the ordinary into something extraordinary. Now with this staff, if you look at the story of Moses, you'll realize that with this staff, Moses actually struck the Nile River which is the river that the Egyptians believed the gods came from, he struck the Nile River and turned it to blood. With that staff, he brought a plague of frogs out of the waters. With that staff, he struck dust and turned them to gnats. With that staff, he stretched it towards the heaven and brought fire and thunder and hail down. With that staff, he brought a plague of locusts. With that staff, he stretched it out over the Red Sea when the people of Israel were cornered, and it parted a sea in two and made a path for them. With that staff, he struck a rock and water came out of that rock. With that staff, he held it high in the air, and the Israeli warriors prevailed over the Amalekite warriors. That staff was so used of God that eventually it became known as the Rod of God. People saw it used so extraordinary that people began to feel that there was magical, supernatural powers attributed to that staff. Why? Was it a magical staff? No. It was a normal staff that had been touched by the power of God. You see, God does that all the time. If you read in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll find that God is always looking at what we have. In John chapter 6, you remember when Jesus had 5,000 people in front of him, he looked at his disciples and said, "How are we going to feed 5,000? His disciples shrugged their shoulders and said, "No way, we don't know how that would be done. I mean, it would take loads of bread to feed 5,000. And here's what Jesus asked, "What do we have?" You see, the disciples were focused on what they didn't have. Jesus said, "What do we have?" And they brought a little boy whose mother had packed the lunch, and the little boy had a few fish and a few loaves of bread, and this is what they said, "All we have is a few fish and a few loaves of bread." And the Bible says that Jesus touched that, he prayed over it, he blessed it, and then he sent his disciples out to begin to distribute it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was one of the disciples, I would want to run to the back. Because I would think, Jesus, after the first row, we're going to run out of bread and then we're going to have a mutiny on our hand and people are going to rush us. But as they began to distribute those loaves of bread and fish, suddenly the miraculous thing began to happen. Because of the touch of God, it began to multiply over and over and over and over and over again. And by the time they got to the 100th row, there was still bread and fish. And the 200, and then 300, and they fed 3,000, and 4,000, and 5,000, then women and children. And then they collected all the leftovers, and there were 12 full baskets of leftovers. Why? Because they took the little that they had, and they said, "Here it is, God. Could you use it?" And God did. That's the way God works. In the Old Testament, there was a woman who was dying of starvation. She had a son. The prophet Elijah came to her. And he said, "Woman, what do you have in your house?" And she said, "Nothing. Oh, besides a little oil." And he said, "Bring me the oil." You see, I believe God always is looking for something to bless. And oftentimes God cannot bless us because we give him nothing to bless. We offer him nothing. We lay before him nothing. We look at our lives and we say, "I have nothing, God, that you can use." And so we offer nothing to God. And God says, "Give me something to work with. I don't need much, but I need something. Give me something to work with. Give me a little talent. Give me a little time. Give me whatever you have, because I can take what you have, and with my divine power and my divine touch, I can do more than what people with greater talent, economy could ever do. But I need something to bless. I need something to work with." Moses said, "All I have is a staff." And God took the staff and began to miraculously work with the staff. And the Bible goes on to explain that he took the staff and God said to Moses, "Throw your staff on the ground." And so he did, and it turned into a serpent. And then he said, "Pick the serpent up by the tail." And he picked it up by the tail and it turned back to a rod. Then God said to Moses, he said, see your hand? Now take your hand and put it in your cloak. And he put it in his cloak. He said, pull it out again. And when he pulled his hand out, the Bible says that his hand was full of leprosy. And he said, put it back in your cloak. And he put it back in the cloak. And when he pulled it out, his hand was new, fresh, and clean, healed completely. And God said, if they don't believe that sign and don't believe the second sign, then I'll give you the power to touch water and turn it to blood. What God was saying, I will use a staff, your hand, and plain old water, whatever you entrust to me, whatever you give to me, I can touch it with my supernatural power, and the ordinary can become extraordinary. That's the way God works. So what do you have in your hand? God, people won't believe me. What do you have, though? What do you have that you can offer God? The other thing, a side note I want to mention, it's as interesting to me that the staff was Moses' tool of the trade. You see, I believe a lot of us think that when God is going to use us, that it will happen within the four walls of the church. But I believe that most of the ministry should happen outside of the four walls of the church. That I believe there's ministry that happens in here, and we need Sunday school teachers and prayer partners and parking lot attendants and nurseries. I mean, it's a pretty big operation on Sunday morning. There's hundreds of children and hundreds of people. And on Sunday morning throughout New Life, we ministered to over 3,000 people. And so there's a lot of internal operation that needs to happen. But don't get me wrong. I believe that that's a minor part of what we do, because I believe that the majority of what we're doing is we're equipping and empowering you to view your workplace, your neighborhood, your family, your sphere of influence is the place that God has called you to. That your tools of the trade, God is going to touch and use you in that sphere of influence to begin to accomplish His work. You don't come to church to do the work of God. You go to the place where God has placed you to be the light of God and to do the work of God and to bring kingdom principles to wherever you work. That's what it means to be salt and light. The second excuse that Moses brought before God, once God had answered that excuse, it tells us in verse 10 that Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have not been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Now the literal translation of slow in speech of tongue means heavy of mouth. Moses was saying, God, I'm not a good speaker. Now, I believe that this was Moses' perception of himself, but not reality. Sometimes the way we view ourselves is not the way it really is, right? Some of us think we don't have abilities that we really have. Some of us have distorted views of who we really are and how we can really function. It tells us in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So Luke says that Moses was mighty in words. Moses said of himself, I can't speak. Now, here's the thing. What Moses was telling God is, you're asking me to do something that I don't have the ability to do. You're asking me to speak when I can't barely speak. Now, I believe that ability or inability is a problem to us, but never a problem to God. God is not looking for talented people. God is looking for willing, consecrated people where He can use whatever ability we have, use it for His glory and His might. That's what I believe. You may not know this, but my mother says that when I was born, I was tongue-tied. Now, I spoke this in the first service, and a dental hygienist came to me, and she gave me some medical terminology for being tongue-tied, and I can't even remember the long terminology she used. But when I was born, the doctors noticed that my tongue was not loose, that it was too tied to the bottom of my mouth, and so they had to do a surgical procedure in which they actually clipped my tongue so that my tongue could be loose, so that I wouldn't have a speech impediment. Some of you are saying, I wish they would have kept it. I wish they had kept it tied.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the first half of his message entitled Crisis of Belief, Overcoming the Excuses. It's part of our current series called Experiencing God. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page, where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.